Chapter 15. Rachel. Monday, 12th of August, 2013. We're in the car park at Wilton Lake in Tom's car. He called me last night and asked if we could meet. I knew he wanted to talk about Anna seeing me on Blenheim Road. I got up early, washed my hair, put on makeup and changed my clothes 4 times. I know it sounds crazy, but I was so happy that Tom had called and that I was going to spend time with him. "Don't worry," I tell him as we look at the lake. "I was in Blenheim Road because I'd been with Scott. We've become friendly, that's all." "But Rach..." I wish he wouldn't call me Rach. It's what he used to call me when we were happy. It makes me want to smile, and it gives me hope. Maybe things aren't going so well with Anna. Maybe there's a part of him that misses me. "I'm really worried," he says, and looks into my eyes. "I know Scott seems like a nice guy, but you can't be sure, can you? I'm not saying he did it, but we don't know, do we? Anna says they argued a lot. Megan seemed frightened of him." Why would I care what Anna says? But I can't get away from the feeling I had at Scott's house, that something wasn't quite right. "Megan looked after Evie for a while," he adds. "I don't even like to think about that now. But it does show, doesn't it? That you can think you know someone, but really, you don't." He sighs. "Look, I don't want anything bad to happen to you, okay?" He smiles at me then and says, "I still care about you, Rach." I have to look away to hide my tears, but he knows, and he puts his hand on my arm. I take his hand in mine, and then I kiss it. "Promise me," he says, his voice serious. "You'll stay away from Scott Hipwell. Please, Rach." "I promise," I say, and I mean it. I realise that it's not just that he's worried about me. He's jealous. Tuesday, 13th of August, 2013. I saw Kamal today. I wondered if the police had told him about Megan's child. We talked about how I forget things, and I asked him if there was a way to get lost memories back. "Well," he said, "certain smells or sounds or the feel of things can often cause a memory to return. And it can help if you go back to the place where something happened." I think about how the aftershave on the train brought back memories of that night. "Rachel, do you want to talk about an event? One that you can't remember?" I do, of course, but I can't tell him. So I tell him about that time at the golf club when I attacked Tom after we'd had a fight. "I'd drunk quite a lot of wine, and we argued," I say. "The next morning, I woke up and felt terrible. I couldn't remember anything, but I knew something awful had happened. I went downstairs, but Tom wouldn't talk to me. He wouldn't even look at me. I felt panicky and I kept saying how sorry I was." Kamal just listens and nods. "At last, Tom told me. The night before, I'd become angry about something, and I wouldn't stop shouting and screaming. So he left me and started to go upstairs to bed. And that's when it happened. I chased him up the stairs with a golf club in my hand and tried to take his head off. I missed, luckily. I just made a big hole in the wall." Kamal isn't shocked. "So he told you what happened, but you want to remember it yourself so you can feel fully responsible. Is that right?" "Well, yes," I say. "But there's something more. Every time I passed the hole in the wall, I thought about that night. Then one day, months later, the memory came back. I saw myself lying on the floor with my back to the wall, crying. Tom was standing over me and the golf club was at my feet. And I felt it. I felt what I'd felt back then. I was terrified. but I don't know why. Because I don't remember anger. I remember fear. Instead of going home after I leave Kamal, I go to Whitney. I walk slowly and purposefully into the underpass. I put my hands on the cold, rough walls and close my eyes. Nothing comes. I open my eyes and look around. The road is very quiet, and there's just one woman walking towards me. I'm disappointed, and I turn to leave. The woman is nearer. She's wearing a long blue coat. She looks at me as she passes, and it's then that it comes to me. Anna, wearing a blue dress with a black belt. She walked away from me quickly. Then she looked back over her shoulder. A car stopped next to her on the road, Tom's car. She bent down to speak to him through the window, and then she got in, and the car drove away. I remember it. It happened on that Saturday night. Only I can't be remembering it correctly, can I? Tom came to look for me in the car. Anna wasn't in the car with him. She was at home with Evie. I just don't understand it. I walk down Blenheim Road and stop opposite number 23 for a moment. They've repainted the front door. I don't remember noticing that before. I wonder what other changes there have been inside the house. I wonder if they've repainted the kitchen or mended that hole in the wall from the golf club. I want to knock on the door and ask Tom what he felt when we were in the car yesterday and I kissed his hand. Instead, I just stand there and look. When tears come to my eyes, I know it's time to go.